Wait, you guys, are you saying you're at the game or you're just watching it?
I was at the game.
So Ethan was at the game where he tore his ACL. I was at the I was at game 4 and game 5 where we I was at the game whenever we clinched the series.
Wow. Well, welcome back, everybody. We find ourselves back here for another pod for BCB. This is Aaron Washington. Glad you guys are back on the mic with me to join me for some trade deadline talk, as well as a couple of trades or a couple of injuries, rather, that have really seriously and significantly impacted the landscape of the NBA. To help me discuss these topics are two of my colleagues here at Unwrapped Sports. Ethan and Ben here have joined me on the pod, so I'm really happy to have these guys on to kind of discuss these incredible developments with me on this episode. And I'm sure they're going to have a lot to say on these topics. And it's probably the first podcast I've had multiple guests on in a minute. So I'm excited to kind of have more of like a roundtable format for this one. But for both of you guys, I'm glad to have you on this podcast here to talk about a wild NBA here today on trade deadline day, March 25th of 2021. And, you know, some of these unfortunate injuries that have gone down. But appreciate both of your guys' time this evening.
No, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Of course. Of course. But Ben and Ethan, guys, I think it's about time that we kind of discuss two injuries, like two big injuries that have impacted the NBA in a big way. One in the Eastern Conference, one in the Western Conference. And unfortunately, these are two players that mean a whole lot to their respective teams. I mean, we're talking about 2 point guards slash point forward guys here for their teams that are incredible distributor guys that distribute the ball very well. You know, they lean on these guys to kind of initiate a lot of their actions to kind of get things flowing offensively. So looking at both of these guys here, they both mean a lot to their teams. So we could kind of look at them both, but first going with LeBron and looking at his impact that's going to be felt here. So for LeBron, I mean, this is huge for that team because the Lakers depend on him so much offensively, already being without Anthony Davis. And now you're trying to project where they're going to go from here, trying to put points on the board and maintain their standing in a competitive Western Conference, it's going to be difficult. As of this recording, they are, you know, third in the West, 14th in offensive rating, first in defensive rating. The on-off numbers for LeBron are crazy, as you'd expect. They are plus 14.4 points, 100 possessions when he's on the court. That falls off a cliff when he's not on the court. And they have a couple of difficult games here coming up. They play Milwaukee and they play Philly at home coming up in their next 5 games. So, you know, Ben, I'll go to you first here, man. Like, what comes to mind for you first when you're thinking about the impact that will be felt by the Lakers with LeBron out of the lineup? Like, how bad is this going to hurt them short term and possibly long term? Because it looks like he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks right now.
A lot, because this looks like an underachieving team this year. I mean, Utah's exploded and Phoenix has exploded. If you went to the preseason, you would have projected LA as a number one seed. But there are 3 or 4 now, depending on how many games the Clippers have played. But I think this team's really struggling without AD, first of all, and take away the king, take away the possible GOAT. I mean, it gets really dicey from here. And you mentioned the Milwaukee-Philadelphia games. You're going to miss AD, especially in those games, because you have to play Giannis and then you have to play JoJo. And JoJo's not messing around this year. He's balling out.
No, not at all.
I really think you're going to be missing LeBron because he can drive, he can shoot, he can really spread the floor. Again, he's one of the greatest to ever play the game. So this is really going to hurt LA in the long term. In the short term, first of all, we don't know, depending on how long he'll be out, it could hurt them in the long term in terms of standings and playoffs.
Right. I will say, though, Ben, you know, they play Philly now. Unless something has changed, I want to say Embiid is still injured with that hyperextended knee. So if that's the case, that is a massive blessing for the Lakers. So they might be in better shape than we think.
He's questionable, but he's saying he's feeling better by the day. Like a couple days ago,
okay,
surprised on how good he was feeling. So I would expect JoJo to either be questionable for this game or play this game.
Oh, that changes a lot. If he's playing, I don't like the odds for the Lakers. What about you, Ethan? You have some of the same thoughts. How bleak is it? Because right now it looks like it's like the worst case scenario this team is looking at here.
It really is. I'm pretty sure this is the worst injury LeBron's ever had for his career, because typically he only doesn't play if he wants to sit out because, oh, easy win. Oh, this game doesn't matter to me. And he'll sit out. But this is, off my past knowledge and current knowledge, this is the longest he's ever had to sit for, 4 to 6 weeks. that's a month or month and a half. Like,
right.
I don't see how the Lakers get more than 5-6 wins unless Anthony Davis comes back soon.
Yeah, it's really a pessimistic outlook because, you know, we keep going back to the fact that this team leans so heavily on him. And that's because you look at the roster and you look at how they manufacture points. You go to KCP, it's like, you know, he's better off the ball, kind of getting spot up looks and things like that. Caruso can handle the ball a little bit. Schroeder can do that for them. But like Montrezl Harrell depends a lot on his teammates to get good looks. THT is a developing playmaker, but that's not really in his game right now as far as what's in his offensive repertoire. You know, things are just bleak for them because they were already kind of hamstrung offensively because like LeBron and AD, that duo was so devastating. Now you're trying to have these guys come in like Schroeder and Caruso and KCP and kind of be more of an offensive focal point. That's not really something that they're accustomed to. And that's kind of been the theme. If you go back to past LeBron teams, you think about guys like J.R. Smith that he's played with before. You know, some of those guys that really are comfortable working off the looks that LeBron creates for them. Now they're not in that position. So the playmakers are going to be KCP, Schroeder, you know, THT probably. And speaking of THT, this team didn't want to give him up today in trade talks. They were in rumors. They're rumored to get, you know, Kyle Lowry and some of these other guys, and they wouldn't budge on THT. So, like, how do you guys feel about THT's upside? Like, is this really somebody that the Lakers can depend on long term as like a focal point? Or do you feel like they should have just kind of bit the bullet and let him go, assuming that they were able to get somebody of Kyle Lowry's caliber in return?
He is currently 20 years old.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
Yeah, he's averaging about 8 points a game or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. He's had some good games. He'll, like, score double figures a couple times. I think with LeBron, we're going to really see how well he's able to develop. And the next month and a half is really going to show what Talen Horton-Tucker is all about.
Yeah, my problem is with – I mean, I would like the Lakers to get someone like Lowry because the Lakers are in a win-now phase. Because look, LeBron right now is getting older by the day. He's not getting any younger. He's no spring chicken anymore. Anthony Davis will be the future of your franchise. And that didn't work out so well in New Orleans. So we'll have to see about that. If you could get a star like Lowry to really bring out the combo guard and really add a threat to your offense, I would have pulled the trigger right away.
Because absolutely,
you would be winning chips right here, right now. And that's what the Lakers need.
That's what's important. That's their whole goal. And it's all about the championship odds right now. So prior to the season, I had them in my favorites as winning the championship. AD goes down. Those odds go way down. LeBron is out. The odds are out the window. They have no shot. So both of these guys will be back, I'm assuming, before the playoffs. But then that kind of begs the question, how much time do they have to kind of redevelop that identity, the continuity that they had before? Because early in the season, the first 10 games or so, they got out of the gates fast. They were rolling. LeBron and AD connection was great. They were shooting the ball extremely well. You know, but the thing is with the Lakers, even before those guys really started getting hurt, the three-point percentage started to trail off a little bit. So Kuzma wasn't hitting the same shots. KCP wasn't hitting his shots. Caruso started to cool off. And then that's what created some of the problems that they have right now with scoring the ball. So it's just like everything's exasperated. So I know for me right now, I have Dennis Schroeder on my fantasy team. I'm looking to that guy. I'm pointing to him. I'm saying you have to be an all-star type player right here for the next few weeks, however long it takes for LeBron to get back, because they need some punch. And Schroeder is capable of dropping 20, 25 points every game. I know he has it in him. I want to see it. The Lakers need to see it. And if he doesn't bring that, the Lakers have no chance to win, just plain and simple. Get Trez in there. Get some pick and rolls going. Find a way, because the Lakers are not concerned with being the number one seed. LeBron will tell you that. They'll all tell you that. But you don't want to come in here as the sixth seed. You know, that's just not a good place to be because the West is competitive. The Suns are looking great. The Jazz, the Clippers. If you have to play one of those teams round one, that's tough sledding, man. So they got to find a way to get out of that position and maintain their standing at the top of the Western Conference somehow.
Yeah. And going back to your Schroeder point, I think you, what you need to tell them is please make shots because we're not going to be getting points inside the moment. You're not going to be making too many points inside in the moment without AD and LeBron. And I would like to give you an update. Joel is ruled out for this game, but you still have Ben Simmons and Dwight Howard. You know, they're
still, not a walk in the park.
Yeah, no, not a walk in the park at all. It's not going to be easy to get those points inside. So I need to tell my shooters here, you need to make shots if we have any chance to win this game, because we're going to have a lack of points inside.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to. They have to get some production somewhere. So their standing is definitely a little bit in question right now. So switching over to the Hornets situation with them in the Eastern Conference, they're locked in this race here for like the seeds 4 through 10, I want to say, are all within 3 games of each other. So you lose a few games, you win a few games, your standing changes drastically. So for the Hornets, you know, they're looking pretty good. You know, they're right around 500, 6 in the East as of the last time I checked their standings, 17th in offensive rating, 22nd in defensive rating. But they are 4th in win differential. So that basically tells us that they have 2.5 more wins than expected based on how their efficiency numbers are playing out. So I think a big part of that was LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball comes in here. He performs extremely well as a rookie. He gives you 20 points. He already dropped a triple-double, a few triple-doubles, you know, at such a young age. And he's going to be significantly missed. For LaMelo, you know, the team does way better offensively when he's on the court. They are a good bit worse defensively. I will point that out. But there's no question that guys like Miles Bridges, no, that's a guy that's going to miss LaMelo Ball a lot. I know you guys have seen these highlights that they got going together, LaMelo and Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges is just like, that was a bad day when he found out LaMelo Ball was hurt, because he got so many lobs from that guy, so many easy looks. So I'm just wondering, what are the biggest changes the Hornets are going to face without Ball? Because now it's going to fall on Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham to generate good looks from the guard spot, Malik Monk as well. So I think their position is better than the Lakers, because they have some guys that can kind of fill in and still be good contributors, but it's still going to hurt, especially with how thin the margins are the Eastern Conference. So how are you guys feeling about their situation?
Looking at them right now, 4th in the East, they're a half game above the Heat, who are at 5, and a half game above the Knicks, who are at 6. So I'm not seeing how they're in any safer spot than the Lakers, if anything, off. Although they have the 2-3 guards to take his place, I think just having LaMelo there to give them the edge with rebounding and better playmaking helps them out so much more. But without him, they're not going to have that, whereas the Lakers just are screwed in general. But Dennis Schroeder can actually score 25 points a game. I'm not sure if Devontae Graham, Malik Monk can do the playmaking stuff that LaMelo is known for.
Yeah, just taking a look at LaMelo Ball, his passing ability is through the roof. That's what we thought of Lonzo in the beginning, but it's obviously LaMelo at this point who's the better passer. And taking a look at Devontae Graham, in college, he was a pure scorer, and I think he is still. I don't know if he has quite the – I don't know. I know for a fact he doesn't have quite the passing ability that LaMelo Ball has. You were saying that he throws dimes to Miles Bridges. They're going to miss that, because that's easy. That's easy points, easy buckets. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to be having to rely on, you know, better shooting and then better play from your forwards, because you're not going to get those lobs, you know, that you used to.
Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time consuming, and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it. Exactly. And you guys really hit on the point that with that guard rotation for Charlotte, it's not so much about the scoring. So Malik Monk can come in here and get you 20. Devontae Graham can do that. Terry Rozier's lucky been super clutch for this team. I think that has also generated a few extra wins, just because Terry Rozier can come out here and drop 15 points in the fourth quarter any given game. That is a massive benefit. So as far as scoring goes, that's not a problem for those guys. But there is a trickle-down effect. We're looking at the other players in that roster for Charlotte. Miles Bridges is going to need some guys to create some of his own looks. The other forwards are going to need that as well. The centers, like Bismack Biyombo, needs looks created for him. Cody Zeller, guys of that nature. So it's more about the distributing aspect of this team. The passing is going to be impacted. the looks are going to be harder to come by for those guys that are more of their baskets are assisted. The guards have no problem getting their own looks, unassisted looks, but the other guys are going to need players to help them get into the right spot. So Devonte Graham is a microwave. I mean, he has some passing chops, but you know, Ben, you were on the money. He doesn't have anywhere near the kind of vision that LaMelo does. And honestly, not many players do. He's just kind of one of those every few years players that you get that just has a special feel for the game. And that's something they're going to miss in a big way. So reaching the playoffs via a play-in or straight up, I think their odds are still really good because they have the personnel to kind of come in here and still be a competitive team. But we're looking at the standings. The Bulls just got Vucevic. We're going to look at that in a second. Miami just got Oladipo. These guys are loading up. Charlotte didn't really make any moves out here, so it's going to be tough sledding. But if they can just find their way into maybe like the eighth spot, the ninth spot, get LaMelo back, possibly at the end of the season, I still like their odds to get into the playoffs. You guys more pessimistic or optimistic about their chances of getting in, even if it's through a play-in situation?
I mean, if Charlotte really, wins a game here and there and doesn't, like, completely tank with that LaMelo ball, sure. I like the position, like you said. I think they could be an 8 or 9 and really sneak in at the end. If they completely go ice cold and just bomb a few games, I don't like their chances at all because I don't really have the faith in Charlotte. I mean, we got a comment that, Rozier and Hayward, they can really shoot, and I agree. But I think that they really need to make their shots here in order to really solidify their chance into the playoffs. They got to win games, and I don't feel completely confident that they can do that without LaMelo Ball.
For sure. And yeah, these comments are right on the money too. I mean, Devonte, Rozier, Hayward can shoot. I didn't even mention Gordon Hayward yet. This is a borderline all-star for this team that they're paying $30+ million for. So Hayward could assume some of that role as well. If you allow him to be more involved in some of these on-ball actions, so maybe his usage goes up. He's dominating the actions. That could change their fortunes as well. So at least the Hornets have some guys they can fall back on if they need some matter of production, as where the Lakers are just kind of like grasping for straws a little bit because guys are not really used to being in a position where they have to create for themselves. The Hornets are already kind of good in that scenario. So I think their odds are a little bit better than the Lakers to maintain their standing. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers started losing some games in a row. But for Charlotte, I think they can still go 500. If they just maintain 500 all the way through, find themselves in the 5th, 6th, 7th seed, maybe even avoid the play-in, they're going to be in great shape. And this is what the Hornets signed up for. They didn't sign up to be a lottery team again. They didn't sign up to be at the bottom of the East. They put all their chips in. They got their great pick in the draft for LaMelo. They're paying a whole lot of money to Hayward. And they're going to have some cap space this summer. So Charlotte's ready to win, and I think they're going to prove to people that even without their prized rookie, that they're going to be in position to do just that down the stretch of the season. We have a few more comments here. So, believes he's going to be in the play-in. I agree. I would say at least the play-in if they don't make it straight up. And then the margin is good. So it's – yeah, you look at the margins here. I think the top seeds, it's a thin margin of error. But once you kind of get down to maybe 10, 11, 12, that's where it needs to kind of lighten up a little bit. That's kind of like where we're standing with the Hornets right now. Pretty good chances of the play-in, pretty good chances of the playoffs. The next 5 games are interesting. So they play the Heat and their next game at home, and then Phoenix after that at home, and then they're on the road to play Washington, Brooklyn, and Indiana. So I'm looking at those 5 games. I'm like, maybe 2-3, something like that. If they can go 2-3, 3-2, they're in good shape. So any final thoughts on the Hornets situation?
How long is LaMelo out for?
LaMelo, initially it looked like he was going to be out for the season, but there are reports that he could be back towards the end of the season. I guess it really just depends on how that wrist heals after surgery. If they can get him back for the last maybe 5 games or so, maybe towards the beginning of May, possibly. But it's really hard to say at this point. So that's really going to depend on how comfortable they feel with bringing him back with whatever position they're in the East at that time.
Yeah, I think that road stretch of 5 games, I would feel happy if I was 2-3 there because that's a tough, sure. That's a tough 5 games. I'm thinking more of a 1-4 for Charlotte. I feel like this is where they sort of go ice cold here. If I'm 2-3, if I'm in Charlotte, I feel very gleeful. I feel very
absolutely.
Happy.
because they have some games at home, but both of those games are going to be difficult. And then the games on the road, Brooklyn and Indiana are going to be a tough test. So absolutely, Ben, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one. So for the second half of this podcast, we're going to be looking at some of the deadline deals that went down. A lot of these were in the 12th hour, guys. So the trade deadline was today, the 25th at 3 p.m. A lot of these happened at 3 p.m. or even came in after 3 p.m. because teams don't necessarily have to have the trades in at 3 p.m. They just have to be on a call with another team at that time, and they can still kind of get the deals coming in after 3 o'clock p.m. And that's what happened a lot today. So the first deal we're going to be looking at here, out of the three deals I wanted to focus on, because there were a ton, but there are three major ones, Oladipo to Miami. So if you're watching this live, you can see I'm repping Miami here with my shirt today because I think they put off the best trade of the day, Oladipo for Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and a draft swap. So I'm going to let you guys do this here. We're all going to put in our trade grades. But I believe that that's an A-plus deal for Miami, considering what they had to give up, who they got back, and a D for Houston. I'm just not very impressed with Houston's haul. But what are you guys thinking? Ethan, got some ideas for grades for this trade? Like, how are you feeling that each team performed here?
I like an A for Miami just because, honestly, they didn't give up much. And they're getting one of the better scoring guards. So when Jimmy has an off night or Bam's having an off night, one of the three players can score 20 points in that game. As for Houston, I think they're just trying to get rid of someone that hasn't played very well for them. I think, honestly, I'm kind of surprised Wall wasn't traded because he hasn't been doing too well.
It's tough to move on from Wall with that 40-plus million. I think that was the big obstacle they faced trying to move on.
Exactly.
Ben, how you feeling, man?
You know, I'm going to give, like you, Miami an A+. I love Oladipo. He's going to ball out there. They have a squad there in Miami, which I think – I know they weren't doing so hot this year, but, I mean, in the future, they're going to look ridiculous. And for Houston, I'm going to give a C-. And the only reason I'm giving them a C- is they got some role players back. I mean, Kelly Olynyk's kind of overrated. He does a lot on the floor.
Depending on who you ask, yeah. I can see that.
So I like Kelly Olynyk in that trade. If there was no Kelly Olynyk, I would have given them D- easily. But I'm going to go C-.
That's fair. I kind of went between like a C- and a D. I'm just looking at the return. They didn't get any young talent. The draft swap, I mean, it's like, you know, that might end up being, you know, a decent pick for them. But I don't know. I'm just for Houston, there's nothing there that really grabs my attention. Their return was just meh. And for a guy like Oladipo, I understand that the market was probably against them. So Oladipo is going to be a free agent, so they probably cold the market for him. He's making $21 million, so the other team has to match the salary. That's not a small amount of money. And he has injury issues. So I understand if teams were hesitant to really give up a lot for him. But still, I wish they got at least one player. I would have tried to get at least Duncan Robinson if I'm Houston. Maybe not Tyler Hero, because maybe Miami was out on that. But Duncan Robinson, you know, one of the best shooters in the NBA. Somebody like that to say, okay, here's someone we can build around. Avery Bradley, Olynyk, what are the odds they're there next season? Like, if we're being real, like, what are the odds they are back with this team again? I don't know. It doesn't seem like they have a place on this team. So that's really where I'm just hesitant to give Houston a good grade on this one.
Well, Olynyk is getting older, and I think he would do something like a J.J. Redick pay cut. I could see that happening if you're Houston. And, you know, they have a boatload of picks. They're going to get young talent out of the draft, build around them, and now you have some role players to go along with it. I agree. It's not the best trade, but it could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah, I think we have to give them a little bit of grace because they were up against the wall. I think the odds that Oladipo re-signed in Houston were very small. I think Houston knew that. So it's like, if we can get something back, it's a win. It's better than nothing. I mean, if they determined that the odds of him coming back were less than 50%, it's like, all right, fine. You kind of just make a trade for the sake of making a trade and everything just kind of falls into place from there. But yeah, maybe my A+ is a little bit biased. Being a Heat fan, I will admit that. But I don't think there's any denying that they made a great trade because I really thought they would have to give up either Robinson or Hero to make this possible. I was even in a mock trade deadline myself a couple weeks ago. I traded Hero to get him with the team I was negotiating with, the guy that had Houston. So we made a deal on that. But for Miami to keep all their young guys, they kept Iguodala. They still have Trevor Ariza. They still have Jimmy, Dragic. Kendrick Nunn is still there. I thought they would have traded him maybe.
Incredible
deal. Yeah, just an incredible deal. I'm really impressed by how they managed to do this. That's just Pat Riley for you. You know, he's the godfather for a reason.
He's definitely the second best GM in all of the NBA.
I'm curious then, Ethan, who's your number one GM as of this moment?
Presti, 17 first and 17 seconds over the next 7 years.
I figured you'd say that. No, there's no arguing that. He has every draft pick known to man right now. This is incredible. I was talking about him last night with my friend, and we were just saying that anytime that he ends up being in a position of weakness, so like when he had to trade Paul George, or had to trade Westbrook, always ends up getting some kind of nice return. So there's no denying that Presti, he makes the most out of every opportunity, period. So I can't argue with that being, you know, the best GM. He's at least one of the best GMs in the league. No question about that. For our second trade here, guys, the second big time trade here that went down today, this was probably the first trade that went down. Or I think it was like the second trade of the day, technically. So the Bulls landed Nikola Vucevic, all-star Vucevic, and for Al-Farouq Aminu for Otto Porter, Wendell Carter Jr., and two first-round picks. So, Ethan, I'll go straight to you here for this one. Great for the Bulls and great for the Magic, all things considered. First reactions.
I'll be generous. The Bulls get a C- and the Magic an A, or at least a B+. I hate the fact that the Bulls had to go up two first. One of them is either top three or top four protected, I saw, which is good.
Maybe top four.
Top four protected. That's not going to happen. We're not getting a top four pick.
Right.
You could argue that we would have blown the draft picks anyway, but like Vucevic has 2 or 3 years left on his deal. He's 30. I get it. We're Chicago. We want to have star players. We want to make sure that a big market has a star player. We have now two players averaging 24 or more points a game, 40% three-point shooting, and 6 or more threes a game. I love to see that, but we have no chance of making it to the second round. I don't care what team we play. We're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs this year. That's assuming that we make it.
That's still to be determined. I mean, we got to remember that the Bulls, it's not like the Bulls are the fifth seed. You know, they're still, I think, 5 games below 500, so they have the ground to make up.
You know, I'm conflicted because I think it is a good trade for both teams. I'm going to give the Bulls a B. I think that's a solid trade for them getting Vucevic and trying to make a win now attempt. The problem is I think Vucevic and Al-Farouq Aminu, they're both 30 years old. They're getting up there. And they're mm-hmm. not. I don't know if they'll be playing for too much longer since they're big guys. So if you're trying to build for the future, I would have kept Wendell Carter and, you know, a solid shooter and Otto Porter. But that's just me. Now, Orlando, they get an A. I agree with that because they get a solid Wendell Carter forward. And you also get Otto Porter and some picks for some young talent. I mean, they have a solid thing going in Orlando. I know they just traded Evan Fournier. But, you know, you got you got Wendell coming and you got Otto coming. I think the Magic are going to be a solid team in the future. I give them an A.
Hey, Ben.
I mean, yeah.
I got to disagree with you saying Wendell's a solid player. He's injury prone. He cannot score the ball.
I could see that. I think when he is healthy, I just feel like he hasn't had a chance to capitalize on his potential.
I agree.
So I think defensively, I think he's probably a little bit farther along than offensively at this point. So he hasn't really had a chance. And I believe this is his third season. I think every season he's had like a few week stretch where he's hurt. He misses 10, 15 games. It's really unfortunate because I think he is going to be a good player for them. So my grades personally for the Bulls, I was conflicted on this one. So if we're looking at this for this season, A-. I give him an A-. Vucevic is a great player, like a great player. I think he's seriously underrated. His pick and pop game is incredible. I think with Zach LaVine, those guys are going to cause terror, absolute terror, working together. So that's a really nice pickup for them. Al-Farouq Aminu is serviceable. You know, bring him in, and that's just kind of whatever. But if they're trying to make a playoff push, this is probably the best deal you could have made, honestly. Just looking at getting an all-star center back for a center who we just said was injury-prone, and it's just kind of up and down, not really sure if he's really going to pan out long-term. I like it. His salary isn't too crazy. It declines next year. It's pretty team friendly considering his production. He just dropped 27 and 14 last night for, you know, just putting that out there. So honestly, yeah, this is good for the short term, but the long term is where we have to question this, right? You guys mentioned he's 30 already. You know, probably going to decline from here. I mean, he could age pretty gracefully. He doesn't rely on athleticism, honestly. But this is a younger team that's still trying to find their way. And if they're trying to have a guy that's going to produce for them for years and years, this isn't it. And the Bulls are not necessarily built to win now. They're still trying to develop some guys. So I think there's going to be almost like a conflict of goals and agendas, bringing in a guy like Vucevic. So maybe overall I'd give him a B. Like, I like the deal, but I have some concerns long-term because of the age and just where the Bulls are at. They're not ready to be a perennial playoff team, honestly, in my opinion, even after this trade.
Yeah, and that's how I basically graded it too, because I think, like you said, the playoff push, it definitely gives them an A. And, you know, playoffs fill the United Center, and full United Center means money.
Exactly.
That's my thing about the playoffs. But if you're trying to push for the future, and I've done this with Philly throughout, you know, all my years of sadness in Philadelphia, I give it a C because, you know, you have no young talent around you. Now you have, you know, Al-Farouq Aminu and Nikola Vucevic, which I did not have the greatest experience, but good luck with him. But I think, you know, they're getting older again, so it's not a great move for the future.
Part of me just really wishes that we could trade Markkanen instead of Wendell, because I have the soft spot for Wendell. I know he's great on defense. I can live without offense if you're good on defense, but Markkanen, injury prone and can't defend. Oh, he's going to be the next Dirk. I don't think he's shooting that many threes for us. He's not doing much.
He does. I mean, he gets up a decent amount of threes, but there's a comparison, man. I just saw it the other day. It was like they compared him, his stats, to Andrea Bargnani in the same year. Fourth year stats were almost similar, almost identical. And we all know how that ended up with Bargnani being that number one pick. And he just kind of, you know, after Toronto, he was just kind of like a whatever player and, you know, declined into oblivion. So hopefully that's not the case of Markkanen. Hopefully he's a little bit more than that. But I mean, I can see where you'd want to get rid of him. He also has injury concerns. He's also kind of up and down as a player. I honestly think the Bulls had them both on the block and they just happened to find a deal to get Wendell Carter off their hands. Maybe they didn't find quite something quite right for Lauri Markkanen. Just speculation. But yeah, I think all in all, the Bulls are still trying to get their way to, I think they're relevant. They're very relevant. They're going to be competitive, but they're not a championship team. They're not going to be an upper tier Eastern team. Just looking at the roster. So that's where my concerns lie. But we got to remember that they had some other trades as well. The Bulls got Tice from the Celtics, a nice pickup. Tice can slot in. He can play the four or the five. He'd be a nice, I guess he's a stretch big in theory, but teams will still leave him open from three. Troy Brown from the Celtics, a nice little pickup. Troy Brown got like no run with Washington. So hopefully the Bulls give him a little bit more run. And then Markkanen is in the last year of his contract, you know, going to be a restricted free agent. So I'm 50-50 on the chances that they re-sign this guy, but I don't know. I'd have a lot of concerns if I'm Chicago. Unless it's really team friendly, I honestly might just move on from him. For some of those reasons you stated, Ethan, he's just, I don't know. I'm not totally sold on him right now. But if that's all we got for this deal, let's go ahead and check out the last deal of the big time trades that happened today. Aaron Gordon finally on the move after like 3 years of trade speculation. This dude's finally on the move to the Nuggets. And I'm just so happy that this guy's going to be in a winning team finally in his career, like a really legitimate like title contender. I'm just trying to imagine him working with Jokic. That's going to be a beautiful, beautiful tandem. You know, Gordon can space the floor better now. You know, he's a decent shooter. He's athletic. Jokic can throw up lobs. They could probably win pick and rolls with each other either way. It's just going to be so much fun to watch, honestly. So he's not Jeremy Grant, but he's still a great young player. Ben, initial thoughts, man. You got any grades for that one? Just looking at it.
Solid. Very solid. I like that. And they also got JaVale McGee too. We have to remember that. So
yeah,
coming six off the bench. I mean, their big guys are stacked. You got to remember they also have the Joker too. they are a dangerous team. And if Philly makes the finals, which I'm sure they'll choke to Boston again, you know, it always happens.
Oh, but, man. Got to have faith, man. Got to have faith. This is different.
The process, but, you know. But the Nuggets are the team I'm the most scared of, besides, you know, Jazz and the Sun. Because I don't think Lakers are really coming back from this. They're such a dangerous team right now. And adding these pieces really gives them an A in my grade.
I see no reason why my pick, personally, I think the Nuggets beat Miami.
Wait. Run that back, Ethan. Say that again.
Sixers getting out first round to the Bulls. Derrick Rose will come back.
Hey, that would be pretty cool if Rose made it way back to Winnie C. That would be pretty dope.
But remember when we played D-Rose, what happened, Ethan?
I was sitting on the exact side, jumps up, passes the ball, career basically ended.
Yeah, and I was at the game of the series.
Yeah.
Wait, are you saying you were at the game or you were just watching it?
I was at the game.
So Ethan was at the game where he tore his ACL. I was at the I was at game 4 and game 5 where we were. I was at the game whenever we clinched the series.
I can't imagine the energy in that arena when that happened. I mean, that had to be dead silent when that happened.
Yeah.
So that's rough, man.
Two very different atmospheres of arenas when we went.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Lost the next round, so what do you expect? They were an 8 seed. Andre Iguodala played them.
Hey, that was a fun team, though. That was a fun team. They weren't championship contender, but they were nice, man. I got to give them that. But ultimately, yeah, this trade was good for the Nuggets. It was a very good deal. There's a void created at the 4 when they lost Jeremy Grant. And I think as the season went along, they had all these trades in their mind. I was like, who can we get to fill that void that was left? And probably called along as the weeks went on, threw some trades out there, finally got this one for Gordon, and they're shipping out Gary Harris. I mean, they're like, adios Gary Harris. This man is injury prone as Wendell and Markkanen. This dude misses chunks every season. RJ Hampton, who, hey, could be a nice little player for him. If he can slot in as a combo guard with Fultz, that'd be a fun pairing, honestly. Just being real. And then the first round pick also in that deal. So I think it was a good return for Aaron Gordon. You're getting a good young player. You're getting a first round pick. And then you're getting Gary Harris, who, when he's healthy, pretty nice little 3-and-D shooting guard. So honestly, yeah. I mean, I gave the Nuggets an A- for this deal. I am still concerned about their ability to really lock down as a defensive unit with Aaron Gordon. So I think he addresses their need mostly, but not quite all the way to where it's like a perfect fit. But I still really like the deal. I'm still a good young player. That team is going to be so fun to watch. The league pass rating just went up probably like 5 spots, just being real. But I can't wait to see him in action. For the Magic, yeah, I think it was a good trade as well. I gave him like a B+, I think you can say. Nothing earth-shattering, but I think they got the return they were looking for. So from front office perspective, I think they walked away satisfied.
Well, I mean, the Magic were making moves this deadline. And I really free agency, you know, grade, I really give the Magic an A+. I think they really got what they needed out of this trade deadline. And I can't wait to see what they do. I think they'll make the playoffs, honestly.
You think the Magic will make the playoffs?
Oh, I'm going to make the playoffs. So at least try to give a push. What am I saying? The Magic going to make the playoffs?
Okay.
Joke.
I'm about to say, like, hey, are you a Magic fan, low key? Like,
no. At least they'll make a push in the future. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I think that they're tanking. They're going to have two decent first rounders in their own and the Bulls, because the Bulls are probably going to give them like a 10-12 pick, something like that, if we don't make the playoffs.
Oh, the Magic are gone. This season, they're already low key losing a lot of games. They're in the cellar. They're in the cellar for the next couple of years. Yeah, it's just, I think for the Magic and their history since 2010 has been so, I think, disappointing, because this is, they're right back where they started in 2010, losing Dwight Howard. 2010 through, I don't know. I don't know if they ever really escaped that seller, except for like a 2 or 3 year stretch where, you know, playoffs or halfway decent team that almost made the playoffs. they never really accomplished where they wanted to. They got a good core together that can win 40 to 42 games, and that's about where they topped off. So it's unfortunate for the Magic that they have to go back to the basement for another probably 2 or 3 years, to be honest. But I am hopeful that Fultz and Isaac will give them something to look forward to once they're back from injury. Isaac in particular, I love that guy. I think he's going to be one of the best defensive players in the league when he gets back. He can do almost anything on that end of the floor. And then him and Fultz are going to be deadly together. So I really just applaud that front office for having the guts to make this happen. Because I think it was like my last podcast or the one before, I really just made it a point for them to go and just go ahead and tear it down because there's nothing there. So they went ahead and did that. And you have to give them credit for realizing the reality of their situation. Because that's not easy for anybody. Who wants to tear it down? You want to win games. You want to be good. But they saw the writing on the wall. And they pulled the trigger. So kudos for that one. But I think that's about it, guys. I think we covered the big-time trades here today. Of course, there's a few other deals we can discuss. But those were the big ones. Those really kind of changed the fabric of the NBA and the fortunes of a few teams here. So, Ethan, Ben, I want to thank you guys again for joining me on this podcast. And before you guys head out, I wanted to give you the opportunity to let the listeners know where they could find you on Twitter or anywhere else. So Ethan, where can people get involved with you if you want to go ahead and shout out your podcast or anything else you're involved with?
Well, check out my Twitter at Ethan_Carboni. And then also check out my two podcasts, NFL Deep Dive and also Creating Madness, which Ben also co-hosts.
As Ethan says, my Twitter is down here, at BenHoyt6. Give it a follow. I am the co-host of a certain college basketball podcast with Ethan Carboni called Creating Madness. We are on Twitter. We are on Spotify. We had some great interviews. We're going to be having an interview with the coach of Moorhead State, I believe, on Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah,
That's dope.
They were just eliminated from the NCAA tournament just a while back. So make sure to check out that episode. Should be a fun one.
Nice, guys. So go ahead and get involved with those two guys. If you're college fans, NFL, they definitely have some content that's gonna that you're going to be looking forward to. So if you're looking to get involved with Business Casual Basketball, our Twitter and Instagram handle is going to be BCBasketball2. And then we also have a website at bcbasketball.info. A couple blog posts here coming soon. The 2021 free agent list is going to be up pretty soon. So there's definitely some projects here in the works over on our website. But that's going to be about it for this episode, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Enjoy this NBA season as we have some revamped rosters hitting the floor here in the next few games. Enjoy the rest of your day here, and we'll be coming at you with more NBA analysis and coverage here real soon. Take care.